let's talk to Brad Friedman. He is the creator and managing editor of BradBlog.com. Are you not?
I am indeed, Christine. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And, you know, many people, because you are really the go-to source for information about electronic voting issues, transparency in counting votes, all of this stuff. BradBlog.com is the place to go. And we've talked in the past how years ago you were considered some kind of, you were, and anyone else who brought up the subject of electronic voting machines and whether or not they could be hacked, were looked upon as some sort of, I was going to say a tin horn dictator, but that's not what I meant, a tin hat conspiracy theorist. That has changed, obviously. In fact, Brad, is it not true that the National Bureau of Standards or whatever it is, the government came out and said, guess what? These DRE, like the Diebold machines with no paper trail, are eminently hackable.
Oh, that's right. They in fact, said this was the National Institute for Standards and Technology.
Yeah.
Committee on that NIST, as they call it, that was putting together the new standards, which will be implemented at the federal level. In fact, they said that, yes, a single person can rig an election, and they recommended we do away with these touchscreen voting machines.
I'm shocked.
Isn't that something else? So you're right, and it's funny because I used to go on the air all the time, and maybe we'll still hear from some of those folks, but I used to go on the air all the time, and folks would say, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist and a whiner.
And a liberal who doesn't like the way things are going.
Right. Well, and never mind that I didn't vote for John Kerry back in 2004. That didn't seem to matter back then when people called me a sore loser anyway. Well, now the Democrats have won, and I'm still here, not going away, and telling you we have a grave problem with our electoral system. And
yes,
now a lot more folks seem to understand that and agree with me.
Now they're listening and then looking at BradBlog.com and supporting it. Well, one good thing, let's just say this, and I know you agree with me on this because we've talked before, obviously. The state of California, the voters in California, I think thanks in part to your efforts and other efforts, a real grassroots effort to make sure that we have a new Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, who will take office shortly. I've attended many a hearing in which Deborah Bowen, as chair of the Senate Committee on Elections and a few other things, has really put the feet to the fire of these vendors who supply these electronic voting machines and really ask registrars, well, how do you know if somebody votes this way on a screen that it's actually being recorded that way? Asking the obvious question. She was termed by some to be a little too aggressive, but that's precisely what we need. She's a very bright lawyer. And I know that Mr. McPherson, who's a very nice guy apparently to have a beer with, but either didn't understand these things or didn't want to know. Even Clint Eastwood came out and said, oh, Bruce McPherson will make a great Secretary of State. Unfortunately for Mr. Eastwood and Mr. McPherson, thank God for all of us, the voters of California, the working class people, Deborah Bowen won. She's going to make a difference in California, don't you think?
Oh, I think not only is California incredibly lucky to have Deborah Bowen coming in as Secretary of State, the entire country is lucky to have Bowen coming in as Secretary of State of California, because Diebold refers to California not as California, but rather as the world's largest voting market. And Diebold, as you know, one of the world's largest voting machine companies, keeps a keen eye on what goes on here in California. And essentially, what happens in California here affects the rest of the country. If California says, look, we're only going to use voting systems that have fully, you know, publicly disclosed
open source software. Yeah.
Must have a paper ballot and so on and so forth. It's such a big market that these companies are going to have to not only change the way they do business, change the way they create these machines, but then that's going to have an effect on the rest of the country, who are going to say, hey, we want what California has.
And they're not going to go down without a fight. Hold the thought. We're going to take a little break and come back, and I want to talk about all the money that's been spent through the Help America Vote Act, and what are we going to do with a bunch of machines that the vendors don't want to supply, you know, the source codes and all of that. Hold the thought. Brad Friedman, our guest after this. So when you go to vote, are you a little itchy, a little nervous? Is it really going to count my vote? How do I know if I use one of those touchscreen things that it's really going to record my vote the way I want it to? And I brought up the review screen and it had flipped my vote, and I asked the polling worker and they said, oh, don't worry about it, it's okay. Don't you think Brad Friedman, who is my guest, creator and managing editor of bradblog.com, the go-to site to learn about what's going on in the country vis-a-vis electronic voting, voting, voter fraud, all of that, people really have taken up this issue and are concerned about it. Just your average voter goes, there's something wrong here. And yet, we had a situation in which the Democrats swept Congress. And so many people are saying, well, maybe there's no problem with the voting machines. If the theory before was that there were some corrupt Republicans who were gaming the system, you know, Mr. Blackwell, and I don't mean the fashion maven, but the former Secretary of State in Ohio who got swept out. He ran for governor and got creamed. But Democrats won, therefore there was no voter fraud. That is a too quick of a presumption, I think, isn't it?
Well, let me tell you, I haven't really heard that a lot, and I do need to correct you, make one very important distinction here. You talked about no voter fraud. We're not talking about voter fraud.
Vote fraud.
It's quite a different thing than the election fraud
we're
concerned about with these machines. The voter fraud would be essentially, you know, people voting twice or non-citizens voting. And
this is
an important distinction because the right, the far right, the really disingenuous guys on the right are running around suggesting there is some massive epidemic of voter fraud in the United States. And, in fact, there is not. And, in fact, even the Elections Assistance Commission recently put out a report saying, they couldn't really find any.
But that would fuel, if there was any, you see the far right could say, well, we now need to have special identifications.
And that's what they're pushing in state after state around the country, these photo ID laws that essentially disenfranchise millions of Americans.
And typically poor people.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that said, so setting aside voter fraud from the election fraud and really the election integrity and transparency issue we have, I've been very pleased to find that since the election, you might have thought everyone would say, okay, well, Democrats won, everything's fine.
Everything's clean now.
Yeah, right. And it's not the case. People realize, I think, more than ever, frankly, the politicians and the media realize it more than ever. The people had already gotten it, I think, prior to the election.
Like so many things.
Yep. They were way ahead of the curve on this. And so now the mainstream media and the politicians are finally beginning to catch up, and we are going to see legislation, I'm happy to say, at the federal level, in both the House and Senate in this coming session that, we hope finally begins to deal with this problem that was really so screwed up by the last federal legislation that occurred, the Help America Vote Act of 2002, which really screwed up the system.
Well, it screwed it up because millions of dollars were spent, right? In many states, they've spent millions of dollars to get electronic voting machines. Here in California, thanks to Deborah Bowen, at least we have a paper audit trail. It could be a lot better of a paper trail, I think.
Indeed.
But at least we have that in California, and there's no doubt in my mind that she will push hard to improve on that issue. But now that all the millions have been spent and you've got these machines sitting around, wouldn't, say, a company like Diebold have to agree to make their software transparent so that the various registrars could have access to it open source as well as a more a sturdier paper trail? Do you think that those companies will agree to do that?
Well, I think that they will be given no choice if the proper legislation goes through. They can either be given the choice to make their software source code available, or they can take a walk. This is our money. I mean, a Help America Vote Act, which, by the way, was pushed through Congress by Representative Bob Ney.
And where's Mr. Ney these days?
He would be in jail.
Oh, yeah.
having become a felon, I guess, out there in Ohio, he can no longer vote, but we're still stuck with his crappy voting machines, unfortunately. But, yeah, $3.8 billion with no standards, no federal oversight, and the dispensation to these companies, these private companies, that they would be allowed to use secret software to count our votes, and we would never be able to look at that software and investigate it in any way.
Look what happened in Virginia in the Macaca race, very, very tight, James Webb and George Allen. And it was very close, and there was some, will there be a recount? And then it was, how could you do a recount? You've got electronic voting machines with no paper trail.
Yeah,
what are you going to count?
Exactly. 80% of the machines out there had no paper trail whatsoever. And, you know, fortunately, Allen ended up conceding. Frankly, he shouldn't have. He should have demanded them.
Yeah, right, because then it would have pointed out that how are you going to count?
That's right. But, you know, at the same time, we've got down in Florida in the 13th House District, they're still fighting down there. There was 369 vote difference in that race, and yet some 18,000 votes completely disappeared down there. So there are, on their paperless touchscreen machines. So there's contests that have been filed down there. I suspect it's going to make its way to the House of Representatives where there's going to be a challenge. My best guess at this point is that the House is going to refuse to seat either candidate, which will force a special election down there. The good news is, you know, the balance of the House does not rest on that race. I mean, if it had come down to, you know, that race determining whether the House swung Republican or Democrat, you would see a crisis down there that would put the, you know, the two
and you,
to shame.
You rabble-rouser that you are, almost would like to see that in that it would bring the attention of the nation to what the critical issues really are. If you had that sort of crisis, people say, oh, my God, how can we count something that's, you know, the machine records it? How do you know it's accurate?
Well, that's right, because there is nothing right now in place. There is nothing to keep that from happening all over again in 2008.
2008, that's an interesting year, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Would you please hold the thought?
I will.
I know you can, Brad, because I got some folks who want to talk to you. We need to take a break. We'll be right back on KGO. Yeah, when I go to the polls, I want to get satisfaction. Brad Freeman is our guest. He's the creator and managing editor of bradblog.com. We're talking about election fraud. And there's some callers who would like to talk to you, Brad. Are you ready for this?
I would love to talk to them.
Okay, let's talk to Peter in San Jose. Hi, Peter. You're on KGO with Christine Kraft and Brad Freeman.
Hi. I have a technical question. Is there any relationship between the absence of a paper trail and the technique and, I guess, encryption and verification of seeding known shills that will vote a certain way and then determine at some time later whether the report corresponds to the vote?
I think I'm having trouble understanding your question.
Well, if there was a vote and 100 people voted in a certain election, and you wanted to determine, let's say, you know, what were the chances of tampering, you'd send 5 people out to randomly vote and have some way of verifying, you know, randomly how many of those 5 people's votes corresponded to exactly the vote the way they voted.
You mean could that be done? Or
yeah,
is that...
well, it's a problem because everybody's supposed to be anonymous in voting. So, you know, it contradicts the whole spirit of you know, secret voting. But if you're going to vote without a paper trail...
In other words, if you voted on something, say on a voting machine that printed out and it said Christine Kraft voted for so-and-so, in other words, it wasn't a blind ballot. It had your name on it, in other
right.
words.
Yeah,
you had,
no,
like, a receipt with your name on it.
Well, you certainly couldn't do that. That would be a violation of privacy. I suppose there is a way that you could, you know, have a number of voters give up their vote, essentially, and go in and vote for, you know, some write-in candidate that only they would write in. You could then, I guess, find a ballot that way and compare it to what the ballot should be.
Is anybody doing that?
That would not be much of a sampling. No, there's nobody doing that as far as I know. But you can and should, you know, be able to run a proper audit on these ballots to check and make sure that the optical scan systems count them correctly. That's only if you have a paper ballot, though. If you've got a paper trail, these little toilet paper rolls that run off the side of these touchscreen machines.
Oh, we forgot to put the ink in.
That's right. The ink, the rolls show up empty. They can't be verified. They jam all the time. Those are just a no-go. So when you've got touchscreen systems, whether they use, or DREs they call them, that use a paper trail, some use them here in California. They have to. In other states, you don't have to even have that paper trail. Either way, a touchscreen system with or without a paper trail simply does not work, can be gamed, they're not accurate, they can be hacked. We need to get rid of them entirely.
How much more expensive is conventional paper, you know, that non-electronic voting?
It's cheaper.
It's cheaper.
These touchscreen machines, not only are they incredibly expensive, but we found, for example, out in Maryland, the Republican governor out there came out a few months ago and said, look, we've got a 1,000% increase in the maintenance costs for these machines that we didn't know we were going to have.
Oh, there's our Diebold man again. It's the fourth time he's been around this week.
They need them because they can't maintain these machines on their own.
And how would you suggest what would you suggest as a grassroots effort to encourage going back to a cheaper method?
I'm less concerned about a cheaper method. That's just the one benefit of going to paper ballots. So for a start, we need to go to paper ballots, not paper records, not paper trails, but paper ballots. There's a huge difference, and that has got to be at the bottom line of any election reform legislation that occurs, whether it's at the state, local, or federal level.
And Peter and Brad, I got to cut you off because we need to go to the news. Peter, if you want to learn more, go to bradblog.com. Listen to this. It is 11:38 here at KGO here in San Francisco. I'm Christine Kraft in for Michael Finney, and on the KGO Live line, Brad Friedman, creator and managing editor of bradblog.com. Check it out. It's the best place to go for information about election fraud, voting machines, all of it. Here's an email, Brad. I know you were out late last night, so I'll just keep you a few more minutes. Did you have a good time? Anyway. It says, Christine, thanks for discussing this topic. I very much like technology, but I refuse to vote on any machine that has not been independently proven to be accurate and tamper-proof, so I voted absentee even though I would rather drive to the polling place and vote. How likely is it that this mess will be fixed in time for 2008? Why are the Dems dragging their feet so darn much? Won't there be pressure on Deborah Bowen, too, Brad, to keep the Diebold DRE machines that the state has spent so much money so much money has been spent on? Won't there be a lot of pressure on her not to go to perhaps just a simple solution like paper ballots?
Well, I think this is an example where a simple solution like paper ballots is in fact the solution.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got bad news though to a certain extent for the emailer there, which is that he or she says that they voted absentee ballot because they wanted to make sure their vote was, you know, tamper-proof.
Uh-oh.
Bad news. Those absentee ballots are scanned in an optical scan voting machine, a tabulation machine, and they are indeed hackable. If you saw the HBO documentary Hacking Democracy, that is all about a Diebold voting machine down in Florida, an optical scan voting machine.
That looks at absentee ballots.
That looks at paper ballots, absentee ballots, and in fact it was completely flipped in a mock election. So those are also quite hackable, and that's why you need to have a proper audit of those paper ballots to make sure the op scan machines are counting them correctly, because we saw election after election this year where the op scan machines were not accurate, were not counting them correctly, and in fact elections were overturned. So absentee balloting in and of itself is not a solution, but the Democrats, they've both been dragging their feet, and I'll give them a bit of a pass, just a bit, in that there have been a number of voting election reform bills in both the House and the Senate over the past several years. In fact, Rush Holtz, House representative from New Jersey, has a majority of the House already signed on as a co-sponsor. But guess what? The Republicans in both the House and Senate would not allow any election reform bill to come forward and to come up for a vote. And in the case of Rush Holtz, even with a bipartisan group of sponsors representing a majority of the U.S. House, they wouldn't even allow that to come up in the committee to mark up and discuss it. So, you know, they have not been talking about it as they should have, the Democrats, in my opinion. But to their credit, they have tried to put forward some bills, but were stymied by Republicans.
Well, hopefully that'll all change. And you do have an article on bradblog.com, which talks in vivid detail about Rush Holt, the Democrat from New Jersey, and what he is proposing. We got some more calls for you, if that's all right.
Bring them on.
Craig in Brisbane, you are on the radio on KGO with Brad Friedman. Hi.
Yeah, I I was just going over just my wallet from last night. I've got canceled receipts immediately from the lottery, from playing the lottery, 9 tickets. I won $6 on one of them.
All right.
I went to the movies, and they told me in detail what movie I went to, what time it was paid for, in detail, and my credit card statement and everything on it. I went to Safeway this morning and spent $109 and got the most detailed receipt you can imagine, and it listed my discounts. I mean, what is the disconnect between getting a paper receipt? We do it every day. Our wallets are stuffed with them.
Well, yeah, there is no disconnect. But one, though, a lot of people talk about paper receipts, and they say, hey, I want one when I go voting. You don't want one. You don't want to have to leave the polling place with a paper receipt, because that, in fact, would lead to vote buying. In other words, if you don't go in there and vote for, you know, candidate X and come out here and
put a horse head in your bed.
That's right.
Okay.
Or I'll give you $20 if you go and you can prove that you voted for candidate X, Y, or Z. So you don't want that. But what you do want, is a system that is transparent and that you can verify it. And, in fact, yeah, your movie receipt will always be correct, because when you get it back, if you look at it, if it is not accurate, you're going to go there and raise hell.
Exactly.
These voting machines, though, they keep it all secret, and they know that you, the voter, has no real way to go and raise hell if there is a problem. You know, they'll just call you a crazy conspiracy theorist who must not know what you're doing. That's what they've been doing now for years. You remember going back to 2004, all those folks in Ohio who were saying, hey, I'm trying to vote for this candidate, and my vote is flipping to another candidate. And they were, you know, said, oh, they're just crazy. Well, now we know they're not crazy, and now we are going to hold the voting machine companies responsible to get it right. And if they don't, we're going to toss them out. And if the politicians don't hold them accountable, we'll toss them out, too. I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. It's time to put an end to this nonsense.
And this is an issue that everybody, Republican, Democrat, Green, whatever, should care very much about. This is fundamental to our democracy.
I say this all the time. This is not a matter of right and left. This one is a matter of right and wrong, period. And ultimately, look, I don't care who wins as long as it is the candidate who actually has the most votes. And right now...
What a concept!
Isn't that something else?
Yeah.
I know, I'm a leader in this. the fact of the matter is, right now, there is no way with many of these systems to prove... I think you guys use touchscreens up there in San Francisco, if I'm recalling correctly.
They sure do in Alameda County, I know.
Oh, yes, they do in Alameda. There is no way in Alameda County to prove any of the results when the registrar comes out and says this is who won or who lost. That registrar has absolutely no way to prove that their results are accurate, period.
Let's move on to another caller. This is Al in Millbrae. Hi, Al. You're on KGO.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think these voting machines stink. You know, we've got them all over the place, and our last local election is the first time we had a voting machine, and we only had one, and the damn thing broke down after 3 voters.
Mm.
And I believe in the paper ballot. If you're too lazy to mark a ballot, you shouldn't be voting. And I've been a poll worker for the last 15 years.
And then we also had the situation where the soon-to-be former Secretary of State of California, Bruce McPherson, allowed poll workers down in San Diego County to take electronic voting machines home for a day, a 2, 3, 4, kept in their garage, no chain of custody to ensure that someone wasn't tampering with them. That hopefully won't be happening again.
Well, yeah, they were kept down in San Diego for 3 weeks prior to the election. They were giving these pre-programmed election-ready voting machines to the poll workers. And this is after we know Princeton University has already shown that in 60 seconds of unsupervised access to these machines, you can get access to a single machine, put a virus on it that will never be seen, will flip the vote, and will pass itself from machine to machine, stealing an entire election, delete itself at the end of the election so you would never know. So between that and really what the caller is talking about is one of the most troubling things to me, is that we had thousands of folks around the country, legally registered voters who were turned away without even being able to cast a vote.
Right.
when the voting machines broke down, and because of the delinquency of Bruce McPherson, Secretary of State out here, though California allows any voter to ask for and use a paper ballot.
It's not mandated. It allows, but it's not mandated.
Well, it's actually mandated if they, you know, the voter has to ask for it. But
right.
What he didn't do is enforce it. He didn't tell the registrars, look, you better have plenty of paper ballots on hand if people want them, and you have to give them one when they ask for it, because we had registrars who said don't give it to the voters even if they ask for it in California.
Right.
This should be a felony to turn away a legally registered voter without allowing them to cast a vote.
And it's also a felony for me if I don't get this next commercial break in, so hold the thought. We'll be right back. And I'm in for Michael Finney, and on the KJO Live line, Brad Friedman, creator and managing editor of BradBlog.com. Brad, I got a big kick out of, well, I don't know what I thought, but it cracked me up. Down in Venezuela, they had an election just, a week ago or so, and they had some problems with the Sequoia voting machines.
What?
Did you hear that?
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked. Don't they own it now, or somebody in Venezuela owns Sequoia?
Actually, yeah, a consortium, Smartmatic, purchased Sequoia. And some have said that Smartmatic is tied to Hugo Chavez. Just so people know, Sequoia is one of the biggest voting machine companies in America. And because we've allowed these privatized companies, that means that Hugo Chavez, for all we know, might have control over our elections in America. Pretty cool, huh?
Ah!
And let me add, as long as you added Sequoia, because we had a big story this week at BradBlog.com, there's going to be more on this. A supervisor on the board of supervisors down there in Riverside.
Yeah, I love this story. Go ahead.
Yes. Came out at a public meeting. There was a bunch of election integrity advocates during the public speaking section of their meeting.
You have 40 seconds.
Okay, who were complaining about the machines down there, and he said, look, I'm so confident our machines can't be manipulated. I'll bet you 1,000 to 1 you can't have a programmer come in here and manipulate it. We'll bring in the media and everybody else. Well, I got bad news for him. There may be some folks about ready to take him up on that, and
yes.
I think he's going to be sorry.
And you can follow the whole story on BradBlog.com. Let's go to Matt in Oregon. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Christine.
You're on with Brad.
Again, I think we have the answer in Oregon, or at least a better form. We do 100% voter by mail on paper ballots. And yes, they are optically scanned for counts, but the ballots are kept for a year. And if there's any question, they can be hand counted. And every one is audited, a sample of it, after the election.
Well, that's right. Did you say every one is hand audited?
Yes, a sample of every count
right.
A sample, 1%.
Yeah, and it does work well up there, but my understanding is one of the reasons it works well is because you've got Secretary of State Bradbury up there, who is very, very good and implements a lot of these things by executive order, but they're not written in law. So if you get a different Secretary of State,
it all change.
Things may not go as well up there.
Yeah,
but
our Constitution needs to match that because we liked it so well.
What's that?
We changed the Oregon Constitution to the vote by mail on purpose because it worked so well.
Well, that's right. But remember, I'm not sure that things like the audits that he does and so forth are actually in the Constitution or in the election code. It might just be what he, at least according to the folks I speak to in Oregon, they say it works well. But we've got to have more oversight, more transparency, and it's got to be written in law because when Bradbury eventually goes, someone else is going to come in.
I hear Kenneth Blackwell is looking to move to Oregon. He thinks, oh, dear God.
He's looking for a job.
Thanks, Matt. Let's go to Sheila in Sebastopol. Hi, Sheila. You're on KGO.
Hi, Christine. I was just wondering about the accuracy of the lever voting machines because I'm originally from New York, and that's what we used to use.
Well, in fact, they are fairly accurate. One of the problems, though, is that they can be gamed fairly easily as well with, you know, sticking a pencil in the back.
There you go.
So that there is a problem with those machines, although I'll tell you, I'll take those overall instead of what we've got now because in those days, to defraud those machines, you sort of had to – it was retail fraud. You had to have a grand conspiracy in order to really make a difference. Now a single person can flip an entire election.
election.
It doesn't have to be a big conspiracy of tons of people to do this. It can just be one person.
That's right. And so that's wholesale fraud. It's become a lot easier to game these elections than it was.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Thanks so much for answering that.
Thank you, Sheila. Let's go to Ed in Menlo Park. Hi, Ed. You're on KGO.
Yes, hello. I'm a blind individual, and I'm wondering if Brad is familiar with the AutoMark made by ES&S.
I am indeed. It's actually not made by ES&S, made by another company. It's marketed by ES&S.
Oh.
And now I understand Diebold will now be marketing it instead of ES&S.
Oh, really? I'm not happy about Diebold, though.
No, you shouldn't be happy about either of them. They are both terrible companies. That said, yeah, the AutoMark system, essentially it's a touchscreen system, but it prints out a full paper ballot, which is then scanned by another company's machines. It's certainly a step up from what we've got now because you do have a paper ballot that it is countable, and yet they still use proprietary software. So that's a concern, but it's certainly a step up. But ES&S, who had been marketing it, had been working very hard to keep that off the market, essentially.
Oh.
And unfortunately, the National Federation for the Blind, who received $1 million from Diebold, has also been working pretty hard to keep that system off the market.
That's disturbing. I that was privacy to me is of some importance.
Sure.
Sure.
I don't know of any other system that gives me privacy.
Because you don't want to have to bring a friend with you into the voting booth and tell them your choices, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. This is the first election. This here in San Mateo, we had devices. It was a different device made by another manufacturer. But it was the first time I got to vote privately, and everyone else used an optical scan system. I know, a paper ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was only for the disabled, that we, you know, the visually impaired, if you will, and perhaps those with language issues. I don't know.
Well, the problem is you got to vote privately, but you don't know if your vote ultimately was counted.
You got half the equation right, but not the full equation.
Right.
And there is another option.
Yeah, what is it?
Running out of time. There are several other. One of them is called VotePad, which is a paper based non-electronic solution.
Yolo County.
Yeah, that's right. And yet, McPherson torpedoed that, would not certify it in the state of California, wouldn't let folks use it.
Was he getting kickbacks from Diebold? What's the deal?
I don't know, but, you know, God forbid we should come up with a non-computer solution for disabled people to be able to vote privately, and he kept it off the market. It's a scandal, and thank God he is gone, and maybe we'll see VotePad.
And Ed, Ed, you need to move to Yolo County. You'd love Davis. Thank you so much for the call. We'll wrap it up with Dorothy in San Francisco. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Christy.
Yeah.
You know, we lost, I do believe, we lost two elections because of Diebold. And it seems that no matter what idea the technocrats come up with, this optical scanner, which will probably also be a fishy fiasco, the public don't seem to mind. I can't, like this man just said, it should be a crime for tampering with the voting apparatus. And it's so simple. Anything simple like this Yolo County thing you're talking about, it seems like, well, there's no money in it, you see.
And well, we've got a great registrar in Yolo County, too, in Freddie Oakley. She's just terrific.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, to me, it makes a lot of sense. But as you can see, it wouldn't make money, so the technocrats squashed that. I think the people should have more to say on what kind of voting.
And, Dorothy, we're going to have to wrap it up with that. It's certainly a good sentiment. I'm sure Brad Friedman would agree.
I do indeed, Dorothy. We do have something to say, and people are outraged about it when they hear about it, but the media isn't covering it, so it's up to you and me and Christine to make sure everyone hears about it and that they go out and raise hell with the media, the politicians, and your local elections officials to demand you take your democracy back.
Thank you, Brad Friedman, as always.
Thank you, Christine.
Talk to you soon. Okay. And if you want to learn more about what Brad Friedman was talking about, and any voter in this country, any citizen should be interested, I recommend heartily for your perusal and continued enjoyment, bradblog.com, www.bradblog.com. KGO, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, it is noon.